Now this morning we will be looking at part one of Joseph's rise to power. Joseph's rise to power. Now think upon the journey that we've seen so far in Joseph's life in this study, and let us remember that all these events in Joseph's life were planned and purposed by God and executed by God, executed by him. Not only to exalt Joseph to the throne in Egypt, and not only to bring his people into Egypt, but also to typify the Lord Jesus Christ, the exalted God-man who is right now seated on the right hand of God, on his glorious sovereign throne in glory, ruling and reigning over all things. And think upon these things, that Joseph was hated by his brethren without a cause. Without a cause, and we know that if it was not for the restraining hand of God, that they would have killed him. And if not for the restraining hand of God, the Jews would have sought to stone our great king many times before his crucifixion, but God had fixed a time when he would go to the cross and die on Calvary's cross for the sins of his people, and no one was going to stay God's hand. So instead of killing him, Joseph's brother, they sold him off to slavery to the Ishmaelites for 20 pieces of silver. Could you imagine selling your own brother for 20 pieces of silver? Boy, what hatred they had for him. To be able to do that. To be able to sell someone who's your own kin for 20 pieces of silver. And Joseph was 17 years old, we know in the study, when the Ishmaelites took him down into Egypt, and he was 30 years old when he was called to stand before Pharaoh. So for 13 years, Joseph was a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, because it was not easy for him to be in that prison. And oh, he was a slave and a prisoner. And we know that our Savior, he was a man of sorrows and he was acquainted with grief. And always remember that all these things which happened to Joseph happened according to God's determinate counsel. And remember, all the things that happened to our Lord as we read the scriptures happened according to the determinate counsel of God and the foreknowledge of God. And Joseph and our Lord Jesus Christ were exalted to their thrones of power, and these things were decreed by our sovereign God. Now, during our last study, we left off at verse 36 of Genesis 41. So turn there, if you would, Genesis chapter 41. And we saw in our last study that Pharaoh was troubled in his spirit by two dreams that none of his wise men could interpret. And his chief butler, who had been in prison 2 full years earlier with Joseph, remembered how Joseph had interpreted his dream, the chief baker's dream, and they both came to pass exactly as Joseph had interpreted them. Now when Pharaoh heard of Joseph, he sent for him quickly, and our great God was pleased to give Joseph the exact meaning of Pharaoh's dream. And Joseph told Pharaoh what God was to do over a period of the next 14 years. First, there would be 7 years of plenty, and then there would be 7 years of famine. Great plenty for the first 7 years throughout all the land of Egypt, and then 7 years of severe famine. And this famine would be very grievous, we see in verse 29 of chapter 41. Very grievous. So our dear brother Joseph then advised Pharaoh to set a wise man over the land of Egypt. And we know that Joseph wasn't volunteering himself. He wasn't that kind of man. He wasn't volunteering himself. He just said to Pharaoh, you need to put a wise man over all of Egypt, with officers under his authority, and instruct them to gather a fifth part of the grain during the years of plenty and put that grain in storage to provide food for the people during the 7 years of famine. Now think of that. He had just told them that. He just told Pharaoh that. And God had made it so that at that time, Joseph is the wisest man in Egypt. Because the wise men of of Pharaoh, they can't even interpret Pharaoh's dream. They have no idea. And we see that that's a picture of Christ. That's a picture of Christ. So Genesis chapter 37 verses, or 40, Genesis 41 verses 37 to 46 we'll read today. And the thing was good in the eyes of Pharaoh, the interpretation of his dream, and in the eyes of his servants. And Pharaoh said unto his servants, can we find such a one as this? One as this is a man in whom the Spirit of God is. And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, for as much as God hath showed thee all this, there is none so discreet and wise as thou art. Because he was the only one who could interpret those dreams. And we know that Joseph gave all the glory to our great God, didn't he? He never took anything to himself. He always gave God the glory. Thou shalt be over my house, and according unto thy word shall all my people be ruled. Only in the throne will I be greater than thou. Now we see Joseph is a type of Christ here with this. But again, every type breaks down. We'll look at that later on. Every type breaks down. And it breaks down here when Pharaoh is actually still over Joseph. So that type breaks down there. And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, see, I have set thee over all the land of Egypt. And Pharaoh took off his ring from his hand and put it upon Joseph's hand and arrayed him in vestures of fine linen and put a gold chain about his neck. And he made him to ride in the second chariot which he had. And they cried before him, bow the knee. And he made him ruler over all the land of Egypt. And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, I am Pharaoh, and without thee shall no man lift up his hand or foot in all the land of Egypt. And Pharaoh called Joseph's name Zaphnath-Paneah, and he gave him to his wife Asenath, the daughter of Potipharah, priest of On. And Joseph went out over all the land of Egypt, and Joseph was 30 years old. So he started off, he was 17, and now we see he's 30 years old at this point. 13 years. 13 years he spent in slavery. 13 years. And during that time of 13 years, he was sold into slavery by his brethren. He was cast into prison. He became a slave for Potiphar. Then he was cast into prison. 13 years. 13 years. That's a long time. When he stood before Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and Joseph went out from the presence of Pharaoh and went throughout all the land of Egypt. Again, in this study, we've seen, like our Lord Jesus Christ, Joseph was hated by his brethren without a cause. If it had not been for the restraining hand of God, again, his brethren would have killed him. Instead, they sold him into the hands of the Ishmaelites for, again, 20 pieces of silver, a people who were the known enemies of Israel, a known enemy of them. He was 17 years old. He went down to Egypt. And then our text in verse 46 says that he was 30 years old when he's called to stand before Pharaoh. Again, 13 long years. 13 long years. And all these things, though, beloved, happen according to the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God. God had planned this to be so, and God had executed it. Just like our Lord's sacrifice on the cross, beloved. It was planned and purposed by our great God, and it came to pass exactly as he purposed it. And no one can stay our great God's hands, beloved. So let's look at our own lives then. Let's bring this into our own lives and see. We can look back in our lives and we can see how even before we were saved, the Lord was protecting us and guiding us and directing us. He does this for every one of his sheep, beloved. Don't think that Joseph is just a special case. He does this for every one of his sheep. Oh, what great love God has for his people. What great care he has for his people. Now think of this too. I want us to think of this. If a man had been sold into slavery, had been falsely accused, cast into prison, don't you think that most men, most natural men would say, I'm going to get those folks back that did all that to me. Joseph didn't do that from what we see in Scripture. He never did that. Never did that. He knew that it was God's. Remember what he said to his brothers? You meant it for evil, but God meant it for good. See, he saw the whole picture. Since the Lord has saved me, I'm sure it's so for you. I look back at history and I see God's hand just at work. I read history in a whole new light now. I read what happened this week in a whole new light. Because it's God's sovereign hand at work. And he's working out. We were talking about the Greeks and the Romans rise to power, Vicky and I. And I said, boy, look at that. The Romans just rose to power. Great nation. Great, great military force. And they were used by God. The gospel spread like wildfire through the Greek language. And now they're gone. They were used for what it was purpose that they would be used for. And now they're gone. And you can look back. You look back at nations in the world. It's amazing. When you look at history with the scope of that, knowing that our God is in full control. This is what I like about this study, because it brings it right down to Joseph's life for us. And so we can see how even in our lives, the Lord's been at work. Our whole life. Even when we had no clue, even when we did not even know him. Even when we did not even know him. Look at verse 38 here. And Pharaoh said unto his servants, can we find such a one as this is, a man in whom the Spirit of God is? So we see in this verse that Joseph's interpretations of Pharaoh's dreams pleased the king of Egypt. Yeah, Pharaoh was very pleased, and his servants too. And there was not a man in all of Egypt who had the spiritual wisdom that God had given Joseph. Not one, not one. Because not one of Pharaoh's wise men could interpret the dreams. Not one. One commentator brings forth that they believed that during this time when Joseph stood before Pharaoh, that Joseph was the only man in Egypt who had the Spirit of God dwelling in him. The only man in all of Egypt who had the Spirit of God. He was living in the land of idol worshippers, beloved. He is living in the land of idol worshippers. And what a picture of Christ. There's never been a man in the whole world, nor shall there ever be, who has the wisdom of our Lord Jesus Christ. There never will be anyone who had the wisdom of our Lord Jesus Christ. And there never has been a man in this whole world, nor shall there ever be, who's been given the Spirit of God without measure. We're given the Spirit of God with measure. The Lord had the Spirit of God without measure. He's God incarnate in the flesh. Ephesians 4:7, the scripture declares this. But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. But not so of our Lord. In John chapter 3, verse 34, it says, for he whom God has sent speaketh the words of God, for God giveth not the Spirit by measure unto him. He had the Spirit of God without measure. He's God incarnate in the flesh. He's the eternal Son of God, the second person of the Trinity. Equal with the Father. Equal with the Holy Spirit. Equal with them in essence, equal with them in power, equal with them in purpose too. Think of that. When he came to this earth, he came here on purpose. Right? And the Father agreed with him, and the Holy Spirit agreed with him. Our sovereign God, our sovereign Creator, did not always dwell in the human body. That little baby that came forth from the virgin womb of Mary was none other than God himself incarnate in the flesh. That's who he was. And that man who was nailed to that cruel cross of Calvary for our sins, each believer says, for my sins. That man who suffered the unmitigated total wrath of God due us is the only wise God, our Savior. God incarnate in the flesh. God. The Ancient of Days. Don't ever let that just become, oh, yeah. The Ancient of Days. Became a man and went to the cross. If you're a believer, for you and for me, for our sins. God Himself. Turn, if you would, to Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1. I'll read 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16, which says, "And without controversy." This means there's no arguing. There's no controversy in this truth. I was talking to Drew this week, and he had read what Brother Tim James said on this, and Brother Tim James has keyed in on this. There's no controversy in this in 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 6, that God Himself became a man. There's no controversy. None. Listen to this. "And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness." Without controversy, there's no arguing it. "God was manifest in the flesh." Period. No controversy. No controversy. "Justified in the Spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, and received of the glory." 1 Timothy 3:16. But, now let's go to Romans chapter 1, verse 3. So there's no controversy. None at all. "The man who came out of that grave on the third day is declared to be the Son of God, beloved, with power, according to the Spirit of holiness, by the resurrection of the dead." Look at this, verses 3 and 4 in Romans 1. "Concerning His Son, Jesus Christ our Lord." Remember, there's no controversy when it comes to Christ. None. "Which was made of the seed of David according to the flesh, and declared to be the Son of God." Declared to be the Son. There's no arguing that. "According to the Spirit of holiness, by the resurrection from the dead." It is Christ and Christ alone, beloved, who has all power in heaven and on earth, and it is He who is the glorified God-man. All things are under the feet of King Jesus. Everything. Angels, authorities, powers, all things that we see in this world and all things that are invisible. Everything is subject to Him. And He is the only one who can give life. He's the only one who can give life. Turn, if you would, to John chapter 17. John 17. He's the true and living God, beloved. We know that life comes from God. Look at this too. Eternal life comes from our great God. And He gives eternal life to as many as the Father hath given Him. Christ has all power. All power. No matter what people think, no matter what people say, He has all power. He is an absolute sovereign. Look at this, John 17, verses 1 and 2. "These words spake Jesus and lifted up His eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour is come. Glorify Thy Son, that Thy Son also may glorify Thee, as Thou hast given Him power over all flesh, that He should give eternal life to as many as Thou hast given Him." That Christ gives eternal life to as many as the Father hath given Him. And the reason we're looking at this is because Joseph was set on a place of power, but he didn't have absolute power. Christ has absolute power. Unchecked power. But He rules by grace and mercy. He's God. He's God. Let's go back to Genesis chapter 41 with that in mind. We'll read verses 38 and 39 together. "And Pharaoh said unto his servants, Can we find such a one as this is, a man in whom the Spirit of God is? And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, For as much as God hath showed thee all this, there is none so discreet and wise as thou art. Now we saw that Joseph's wicked brothers sold him into slavery in our study so far, and Joseph did not know it, but they were instruments in the hands of our sovereign God." They were just instruments. Brother Matt, you work in a hospital, and then doctors, when they go do surgery, they use instruments. His brothers were just instruments. Pharaoh's just an instrument to accomplish God's purpose. It's incredible, isn't it? So when you look at history, even in this scope, it changes everything. Everything. Turn, if you would, to Genesis chapter 15. And here's where we can find out that that Joseph's brothers were just mere instruments in the hands of our sovereign God. Why? To get Joseph to Pharaoh with a message, which would eventually lead to Joseph's dad and his brethren coming to Egypt, just like God had said would happen. Right? Genesis 15, verses 3-16. And Abraham said, "Behold, to me thou hast given no seed, and lo, one born in my house is mine heir. And behold, the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, This shall not be thine heir, but he that shall come forth out of thine own bowels shall be thine heir. And he brought him forth abroad, and said, Look now toward heaven, and tell the stars, if thou be able to number them. And he said unto him, So shall thy seed be." Now, he has no heir at this time, when God's showing him this, right? But look what it says in verse 6. And he believed in the Lord, and he counted it to him for righteousness. Again, what we've been looking at in 1 John in our study, he believed God. God's people believe what God says. We believe what the Word of God says. There was a time when we didn't, but now we do. Now we do. And he said unto him, "I am the Lord that bought thee out of the Ur of Chaldees." He was an idol worshiper. Abraham was an idol worshiper, beloved. Just like we were idol worshippers and dead in our trespasses and sins. "To give thee this land to inherit it." And he said, "Lord God, whereby shall I know that I shall inherit it?" And he said unto him, "Take me an heifer of 3 years old, and a she-goat of 3 years old, and a ram of 3 years old, and a turtle dove and a young pigeon." And he took unto him all these and divided them in the midst, and laid each piece one against another, but the birds divided he not. And when the fowls came down upon the carcasses, Abraham drove them away. And when the sun was going down, a deep sleep fell upon Abraham. And lo, an oar of great darkness fell upon him. Now look at this. And he said unto him, "Abraham, know of a surety that thy seed shall be a stranger in the land." Well, his seed isn't even born yet, right? He doesn't even have a heir. He doesn't even have an heir. But God's telling Abraham, your seed is going to be a stranger in the land. Okay? Going to be a stranger in the land that is not theirs. Egypt wasn't theirs. Right? "And shall serve them." Well, they became slaves. We know that, right? "And shall afflict them 400 years. Look at that. "And also that nation whom they shall serve will I judge." And God did judge that nation, didn't he? When he took Israel out of there. Now remember, he don't even have an heir yet. God's telling them this is all going to come to pass. "And afterwards they shall come out with great substance. And thou shalt go unto thy fathers in peace, and shall be buried in a good old age. But in the fourth generation they shall come hither again, for the iniquity of the Amorites is not yet full." Those people who the Lord's going to tell them, you go wipe them all out. How can people read the scriptures and not see that our God is a God of purpose? Well, number one, they haven't been given eyes to see, right? But praise God when he gives us eyes to see this, to see history in a whole other light. So Joseph's brethren were just instruments in the hands of our sovereign God to get Joseph down to Egypt, where he would be raised up to power, the second in command, and then Israel and his family would come down into Egypt, just like the scripture tells us right there. It's incredible. And we know that the 7 years of plenty and the 7 years of famine were predetermined events by God. We know that. And we're seeing this study that he will use the 7 years of famine to get his people to move to Egypt, just like he said they would. And we see in our text today that Joseph is exalted to a place where he's now ruler over all of Egypt. The only one who has more authority than him is Pharaoh. He's sold into slavery. This God's the only one who can do this. And now here's a Hebrew raised up, second in command over all of Egypt. The only one who can say no to him is Pharaoh. Oh my goodness. Oh my. Well, we'll see again that our great God will use this famine in the exaltation of Joseph again to his high position of authority to not only bring Israel down, but to protect them. Because God preserves his people, doesn't he? He protects his people. Those he's chosen, he protects. He protects them. And here use Joseph's high position of authority to protect and save his chosen people, to save them, save their lives during the famine that he, God, was going to bring upon the land. They'd have perished otherwise. But see, they're God's people. He ever protects his people. He ever watches over them. Well, our God knows the end from the beginning, beloved. It's very evident even in this study. And he sovereignly rules and reigns over all things. And we see that it is he who has placed Joseph in Egypt. And it's he who has made sure that there's none so wise and discreet as Joseph. And our great God has made it so. He's made it so. God withheld his wisdom from all the others because he had chosen Joseph to be the one who would bring his message to Pharaoh. Think of this. The Lord Jesus Christ was sent from God to earth as a messenger, an ambassador of the one true gospel of God's sovereign grace. And he spoke through his prophets. He said, Christ is coming. The Messiah is coming. God spoke through his prophets. The Messiah is coming. And then Christ comes. He comes. And in the last days, he's spoken unto us how? By his Son. By his Son. And God's people have had that, the wonderful message of God's sovereign grace in Christ revealed to us. We know that Jesus Christ is our sovereign creator. We've been taught that he became a man, that he was really God incarnated in the flesh. And we've been taught that he established a perfect righteousness for us, for his people. How? By his perfect obedience to the Father. He did that which we could never do. We've been taught this. And we know and we believe that he obtained eternal redemption for us. And we know that right now our great high priest, the Lord Jesus Christ, is seated at the right hand of the majesty on high. He's our eternal surety, isn't he? He's our eternal surety. And we know all these truths. They've come to us by divine revelation. It's not something we mustered up. It's not something we said, oh, well, now I know that. No. These truths have been revealed to us. There was a time when we didn't know these truths. And they came to us by divine revelation. And we're born again by the almighty power of God. And as we grow in grace in the knowledge and truth of our Savior, beloved. Not to puff ourselves up and say, Lord, look what I know. No. Because the more we learn about Christ, what does it do? I like what John the Baptist said. He must increase and I must decrease. And that's what happens. The more we learn about Christ, the more we're in the dust. And in awe of who he is. In awe of who he is. Jesus Christ is the power of God and the wisdom of God. He's every believer's wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. Why? That according as it is written, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. Don't ever glory in yourself. We got nothing to glory about. We're just worms. Saved by the grace of God. Saved by the grace of God. And you know, when you hear someone say, I like Brother Henry used to say this, and I just love it. He used to say, well, when you hear someone popping off about, well, such and such and such and such, and that's just one worm trying to make themselves feel better at the expense of another worm. That's all that is. That's all that is. We're sinners saved by grace, like Sister Gail and I were talking about this morning. We're just sinners saved by grace. And now the truth is being revealed to us and we rejoice in it. We absolutely rejoice in it. We don't think the same way we used to think. The things of the world aren't appealing to us anymore. Oh my, our great God is so good to us. But always remember that there's none so discreet, even though Joseph was wise and discreet, there's none so discreet and none so wise, and discreet means, in the Hebrew, it means understanding and discerning, than the Lord Jesus Christ. There's no one, no one near him in that. Look at verse 40. And this is where we're stopped for today. There's still very much in the finishing verses of this chapter. It says, "Thou shalt be over my house, and according unto thy word shall all my people be ruled. Only in the throne will I be greater than thou." All those people, the Potiphar's wife, Potiphar, the jailer, all those people are now under Joseph. Oh my. I bet you some of them were shaking in their boots. But Joseph wasn't that kind of man. He wasn't that kind of man. He had the Spirit of God in him. And here we see Joseph raised up to be over all the people of Israel. He was sold into slavery for 13 years. He labored as a slave. He was falsely accused. He was cast into prison. He was forgotten for 2 full years by the butler. And remember, all those things happened according to the wise providence of our God. And now we see him exalted to be ruler over all of Egypt. Could you imagine what Joseph himself thought? He probably was stunned. Wow. He didn't expect it. He was just going there to interpret Pharaoh's dream. That's all he was doing. But the sovereign hand of our great God is at work, beloved. And it just, right, the heart of the king is in the Lord's hands. Now you see Joseph raised up by the word of the king. Raised up to power. And then we see Pharaoh even put Joseph over the affairs of his own house. Over the affairs. Joseph was the man in charge of everything in Pharaoh's palace and in Pharaoh's court. Everything. And absolutely no one was to disturb Pharaoh with any decisions that had to be made over domestic affairs. They all had to answer to Joseph now. Anything they needed, they had to go to Joseph now. Imagine Potiphar going to Joseph. Oh my. My goodness. All the important decisions for Egypt now goes through Joseph. And Joseph is exalted to a position of prime minister over all of Egypt. We'll see that later on in our study, so that all the people in the kingdom we see now are ruled by Joseph's word. The only one who's above him is Pharaoh. But Pharaoh's just put all the affairs into Joseph's hands. He trusts them. He just met them. That's the hand of God at work. That's the hand of God at work, beloved. Now, a picture or a type of Christ starts to break down. As I said, it can only go so far. We see here that our dear brother Joseph, he typified Christ. He typified the exalted Christ of God who sits on the throne of a sovereign power. And we know that God the Father, from what we looked at there in John 17, God the Father put all authority into the hands of our Master, of the Lord Jesus Christ. But the type breaks down when Joseph's still subject to Pharaoh. But the picture of him ruling over all is a picture of what our Lord Jesus Christ, he has all power. He has all power right now. And he's over everything. He's over everything. We know that God our Father has put, again, under the feet of his Son, all things. He gave him to be head over the church too, isn't he? He's head over the church. Over all God's born again, blood washed saints. And we all submit to the authority of who? Christ. The authority of Christ. And praise and thank our Heavenly Father that we're even members of his spiritual house. And we all do this. Think of that. We all praise our great God according to the determined will of our majestic God. It was his will to save us. It was his will to save us. It's incredible. It's absolutely incredible. Our great God rules over all, beloved. And oh Lord, just teach us to trust you more. Just teach us to trust you more. In Jesus' name, amen. Heavenly Father, we thank you. We thank you again for your wisdom and your greatness of power. We thank you that we were included in salvation's plan, we who are your people. It's just marvelous. And as we look at this life of Joseph and we see God's sovereign hand at work, we see your hand moving, we see you ordering things and having things come to pass. Oh, what comfort we can find knowing that in our lives you do the same, Lord. You ever watch over us and you guide and direct us just as a shepherd over his sheep. Praise your mighty name, Lord, for granting us faith to believe upon thee, Lord Jesus. Amen.